Well, morning everyone.
Morning.
Good to be here again. And today is Trinity Sunday. You remember last week was Pentecost, and this week we're thinking about God as the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So I've got a reading for you, which just to start our service off, is from Isaiah, and it's first few verses from Isaiah and chapter 1, and it says this. It says, "In the year King Uzziah, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings, with two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory.'" So it's a vision that Isaiah had of God, and you can just imagine, can't you, how overwhelmed he must have been to see that sight. And you know, it's probably a bit of a foretaste really of what we can expect when we finally meet God in heaven. So we're going to take up that theme in our first hymn this morning, which is "Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty." Let's come now to God in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just marvel, Lord, at the way that you are, who you are, and what you do for us. We think, Lord, this morning of the Father God who created the heaven and the earth and everything in it. And Lord, as we look around our planet, we can see the evidence of God at work, Lord, in all things. For the sea and the land and the sky and the earth, the animals and the plants and everything in it. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, for creating this. And we thank you, Lord, for creating us, that you made us in your own image. And Lord, you loved us so much that you sent us your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, you sent him because the things that you created became soiled and marred by evil and sin, Lord, in this world. And we thank you, Father, that you sent Jesus to save us, Lord, from our sin. And we pray, Lord, that we might put our faith and our trust in Jesus, who is the way to you. And Lord, we thank you that you sent your Spirit at Pentecost, that he is able to be with us every day of our lives in all of our situations. And we pray, Lord, this morning that we might experience the presence of the Holy Spirit in our service of worship today. Lord, may he help us, Lord, to draw near to you, to hear your voice, Lord, speaking to us. May we understand, Lord, the things that you're saying to us this morning. And may your Spirit, Lord, move us to change our lives, to do what you want us to be. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue our theme of God's holiness in our second song, which is Holy, 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 Holy is the Lord.
Holy, 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 holy
I thought the piano was going to set on fire then, Zahn. You were really... Oh, you've got some more words for me, all right. Never mind. Right, I brought with me my a water bottle today, and I wonder if anybody can... Oh, it's your way, it's all your water bottle, all right, I guess. I bought Sandra's water bottle today. Right, can anybody guess what's inside it?
Gin.
Gin?
Is it Sandra's?
Is that wishful thinking, is it?
She said it's Sandra's, so it's gin and tonic.
Gin and tonic. All right. Hayley thinks it's gin and tonic. Anybody else got any ideas as what it might be in here?
Dubonnet and gin.
Dubonnet and gin?
Dubonnet and gin. Squash, yes, you're right, Fred. But looking at the bottle, you can't actually tell what's in it, can you really? The only way you can see what's in it is to pour out what's inside it. Now, I've got to make sure I don't drop this awful, spill this. So, what kind of squash do you think it is? Lemon squash, yes. It's actually lemon and lime squash. Let's be accurate here. Lemon and lime squash. And Sandra drinks gallons of this every week, actually. So. I don't think you'll like this. It's a bit strong, actually. Sandra likes a lot more watered down than that. Now, I want us to think this morning about... God. And, you know, can anybody tell me what God is like? What does God look like? Any ideas? Because nobody, the Bible says that no one has ever seen God, have they? Sorry? Exactly. Yeah, the way we find out about God, isn't it, is through Jesus and through ourselves as well, isn't it? You know, we're God's representatives, aren't we? God's ambassadors, where the Bible describes us as, of his people on earth. You know, when you talk to people about God, you know, people get some sort of strange ideas sometimes, and they don't really know what you're on about half the time. You know, a lot of people, when you say God, they think it's some bloke with a long white beard, don't they? Sitting on a cloud up there somewhere. But, you know, when we're really talking about God, we're talking about Jesus, and we're talking about us, aren't we? And the way that we reflect what God is like and what Jesus is like through us. And the only way, really, you know what's in this bottle is you've got to pour it out, but you've also... got to drink it, haven't you? You've got to drink it, to taste it, to see what it's like. So we're going to be thinking in our service this morning about, you know, how we really find out and learn more and get to know God better. You know, because that's what we should be all about, you know, when we believe in Jesus. We need to get closer to him and in turn get closer to God and to find out more what God is like. Because obviously the more we know about God, the more we're able to share our faith with other people. So, I'll put that there. And I've got some nice squash to drink now, haven't I? Instead of water if I get thirsty during our service today. So, we'll be thinking about that in a few moments. But first we're going to sing another song together. Lord, I come to you. May my heart be changed, renewed. going to just think of a few things that we need to pray about today. I think obviously one of the main things probably on most people's mind at the moment is the election that's been announced on Thursday, and I'm sure in the next 6 weeks we'll all be a bit fed up with it when we were on the news. But we do need, I think, to pray for the state of our country and the state of the world at the moment, isn't it, really? You know, it's it really is going on a downward spiral at the moment in all senses of the world. And people, as Peter said last night, they need Jesus, don't they? We need him, and people need to confess their sin and to put their trust in Jesus. And that is the problem in our world today, isn't it? Everybody is going their own way. People have got their own agendas, doing their own thing, and majority of people don't give a second thought about God or Jesus. So we really do need to pray that there's a turning away from people's evil ways and turning back to God. So let's just pray, shall we, for those things. Lord, we just come before you today, and Lord, we were reminded of that vision that Isaiah had of you being a holy God. Lord, there is no sin in you. You are perfect. And Father, when you created each one of us, Lord, we were created, Lord, in your image. But Father, we have been corrupted by the world, by the devil, Lord, by temptation, by sin. And Lord, the world that we live in now is a far cry, Lord, from the world that you created all of those years ago. We do pray, Father, at this time for this world, Lord. We pray, Lord, for each and every person, Lord, that lives within it. We pray, Father, that somehow, Lord, we might, Lord, be able to make people more aware of you and their need of you, Father. We pray particularly, Lord, for those who have great influence, Lord, in this world, for the world leaders, for governments, Lord, for those, Lord, who have power, Father, but use it, Lord, in a way which is destructive rather than for the common good. We pray, Father, for those who have caused wars, those, Lord, who'd rather have war and conflict rather than peace. But, Lord, we know that it is possible for even powerful and influential people, Lord, to turn to you. Think of some of the kings, Lord, in the Old Testament, and the way, Lord, that they spend time, Father, following your laws, inquiring of you. And we pray, Father, that we might have a return of those times when people listen to what you have to say. Lord, we're in a desperate situation, and people desperately need the love and the wisdom of God. Lord, we pray too, Father, for this fellowship here. And we pray, Father, that each one of us, Father, might do our bit to spread the word, Lord, to those around us in our daily dealings with people. We pray, Father, for the service next week at Gretton. And we thank you, Lord, that church was founded all those years ago. We pray, Lord, that we might be able to celebrate and rejoice, Lord, with the congregation there next week. We pray too for those who are unwell at this time, those that are struggling with health issues, those who are stuck at home, Lord, because of them, those who are perhaps feeling a bit unwell, those who have just got other problems, Lord, that are really getting on top of them at the moment. Lord, we know that you never ever promised us a trouble-free life, but you do promise, Father, that you will be there in all of our situations, be it good or bad. And so, Father, we just bring all these things to you this morning, Lord. We pray that we'll really know you better, Lord, and help us, Father, to do that, so that we might really, Lord, have that proper relationship with you that you earnestly desire. Lord, we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Going to read to you a few verses now from John's Gospel, John chapter 16. If you remember last week, Peter read some words about Jesus sending his Holy Spirit. So this kind of follows on in a way from what Peter was saying last Sunday. It's quite a long sort of discussion this is that Jesus is having. It sort of lasts sort of about three chapters actually. So he's got a lot really he wants to share with them. And so he's starting from chapter 16 and beginning at verse 12. And Jesus is just sort of pouring his heart out to them. He says, I have much more to say to you, more than you now can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. And Jesus went on to say, in a little while you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. Just ask God to help us to understand that, and we'll be looking at that passage in a minute or two. Before we do that, we're going to sing another song. This is a newish one that we did a few weeks ago when Susan Deacon came, actually. So I thought it'd be a good idea to sing it again now while it's still sort of fresh in our minds. And it fits quite well, really, with what I'm going to talk about in a moment. So, Speak, O Lord. Many years ago, when I was at work, one of the jobs that I used to have was as a management trainer, and used to go away on courses and train staff on various things. And one of the things that, as trainers, that we all did in those days was we all used to complete a what's called a personality test, which is a test that's designed by psychologists, and you have a load of questions and things that you you have to answer. And depending on the answer to their questions, they kind of draw up a profile of the kind of person that you are, and your sort of strengths and weaknesses, and your sort of leanings towards one thing as opposed to the others. And one of the personality tests that nearly everybody did, and some of you probably will have heard of this, is called the Myers-Briggs profile test, quite a famous sort of personality test. And I was seen as sort of a bit introverted. I tended to like to rely on intuition rather than on sort of facts and things like that. And I was also a sort of much more sort of feelings kind of person as well. And we often used to share our profiles with one another to see kind of how we get on. And the thing is, they said that some sort of personality types get on better with others, and some are ones that, you know, you people that you tend to clash with. And that's true, I think, isn't it, really? Some people everybody gets on well with, and other people, you know, always like kind of rub it up the wrong way. But it was actually quite a useful thing to do when we used to kind of talk to each other about our personality profiles and things. And, you know, if we had a personality clash, it helped us to kind of talk through where some of the problems were. So I want this morning to kind of think about the personality of God. The personality of God. And we forget sometimes that God is a person, isn't he? You know, I said today's Trinity Sunday, where we think about God, the person, in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I think Trinity's one of the difficult things to kind of talk about, isn't it, really? You know, and people think, well, you know, how can that be? You know, you've got one person, but three people. But it's not the kind of thing you can sort of prove or disprove like you prove a geometrical theory or a scientific thing at all. Because God is a person, I want us to think this morning about personality and relationships. You know, that's how we need to think of our interaction, isn't it, with God, our relationship with him, our personality and God's personality and our personality. Because God has been there right from the very beginning. You know, the very first words in the Bible was, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And we know that he's not just an airy-fairy sort of God, but he's a personal God, because it goes on to say that God made man in his own image. So God's not a thing, he's a person. And he's a person who knows all about us, and he wants us to get to know him. Now, of course, when you go through the Bible, and you look at particularly the Old Testament, and I think this is why a lot of people have a few problems, I think, getting their heads around sort of the nature of God, is that God only revealed himself to certain people at a time, didn't he? You know, he revealed himself to the likes of Abraham and to Moses, and he's often portrayed as somebody who is unapproachable, a bit distant, and, you know, you've got to behave yourself a bit when you come before God. You know, when Moses approached him, you know, with the burning bushes, oh no, stand back, you know, don't get too close. But of course, in the New Testament, God's presented in a very different way, isn't he? Because he's presented to us in the personality of Jesus. You know, if you think of the You know, God in the Old Testament, it's a bit like this bottle, isn't it? Only kind of presents what's in it now and again. Whereas in the New Testament, it's the transparent glass, isn't it? You know, we see and learn about Jesus more and more. And of course, then when you go further on into the New Testament, God then presents himself in the book of Acts through the Holy Spirit. And the coming last week, we thought about the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So, you know, when we look at the whole of the Bible, God presents himself in very different ways. And I think we're in a very privileged age now where, you know, we've actually got the whole revelation, haven't we, of God presented to us, you know, whereas probably in the Old Testament it's more difficult for people to get to know him. But despite that, you know, there's more people that don't know God than there are people that do. But God wants us to get to know him completely. You know, he wants us to find out more about him. You know, he knows everything there is about us, what makes us tick and all of those sorts of things. But, you know, our knowledge, I think, and our relationship with God, you know, probably isn't as good or as complete as it probably ought to be. And of course, there are some things that stop us from getting close to God, isn't it? You know, the Bible talks about that barrier of sin that we have, that, you know, our wrongdoing in our lives that presents a barrier, doesn't it? You know, if you've had a row with somebody and neither of you apologize, that the relationship breaks down, isn't it? Because, you know, there's that kind of barrier there that stops you getting to know that person better. So if I asked you, for example, to tell me what you know about the person sitting next to you. So look at the person sitting next to you. So what do you know about them? What would you like to know about them? You know, if you're sitting next to your partner or your husband, you know, your wife or husband, you know, you probably know a fair bit about them. But I bet there's certain things, though, that you don't know about them as well, isn't there? You know, and some people, you often talk about people being a bit of a closed book sometimes, don't we? You know, that, you know, somebody said to me sometimes, I'm quite a private person, don't let on, said, you often leave yourself outside the door. I leave myself outside the door. You know, it's an interesting way, isn't it, of describing people, you know, and I don't kind of engage perhaps as much as I do. And of course, there's some things you probably will never, ever, this side of eternity, ever find out about, you know, another person, aren't you? And things often sort of come to light. You know, often hear like child abuse cases, for example, and you think, well, you know, and it really comes as a shock, doesn't it? As to the, you know, you think, well, I never realised that was going on. And of course, there's only things that God knows about us. And it's a bit disconcerting, isn't it, that, you know, God knows us through and through. You know, he created us and he knows not only our whole personalities, he knows what we're doing, what we're thinking, everything about us. And of course, in this chapter with John, where Jesus is sharing with his disciples, he's trying to kind of give them a bit more information about what God is like. You know, the passage started off, he said, you know, I have much more to say to you, more than you now can bear. Have you thought about that? You know, God doesn't tell everything about himself or doesn't tell his plans and everything all in one go, because, you know, we just wouldn't be able to cope with it, you know, emotionally or intellectually. And he reveals himself to us bit by bit, isn't it? You know, and I'm sure if you look back over your life, you can see different times when God's told you things about himself or revealed things about himself bit by bit. So how does God reveal himself to us today? And of course, this chapter, Jesus was trying to explain to his disciples about the coming of his Holy Spirit. And it's his God's Holy Spirit that helps us to interpret, to get our heads around what God is trying to say to us today. In verse 13, Jesus says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears." You know, we do need to hear the truth today. What about you? I can never believe anything I hear these days. You know, I turn the TV on or look at something on the internet or there's a lot of talk, isn't there, about disinformation. And you think, well, what's all that about? You know, there's versions of the truth, isn't there? Things that you're only supposed to hear. Right, who can explain the rules of cricket to me? Oh, right. Well, I heard this. This is a potted version of the rules of cricket, this is. It says you have two sides, one out in the field and one in. Each man that's in the side that's out, in, goes out. And when he's out, he comes in. And the next man comes that goes out until he's out. And when they're all out, the side that's out comes in, and the side that's been in goes out and tries to get those coming in out. And sometimes you get men still in and not out. And when a man goes out to go in, the men who are out try to get him out. And when he is out, he goes in, and the next man goes out and goes in. And then there are two men called umpires who stay out all the time, and they decide when the man who are in are out. And when both sides have been in and all the men are out, both sides have been out twice after all the men have been in, including those who are not out, that is the end of the game. So there you are, it's clear as mud now, aren't you?
That's the tea towel.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? But of course, if you really want to learn the rules of cricket, the best way to do it is to watch it, play it, you know, that sort of thing. You know, I used to score for a local cricket team, actually, and I actually did begin a bit to kind of understand the rules of cricket. But it took me quite a while to kind of work out all the little sort of nuances of it. And of course, God sent his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, to be our advocate, our advisor, to someone who's kind of helps us to kind of unravel some of the things that God tries to tell us. You know, when we read the Bible sometimes, there's things in it, genuinely, if we're honest, we don't understand. And I know a lot of Christians that really struggle with the Old Testament. There's lots of stuff in the Old Testament that you think, well, you know, what's all that about? But God wants us to engage with him and his Holy Spirit to try and unpack and to try and help us to understand the things that God wants us to know about. The last thing is that God wants us to build up a relationship with him. You know, being with God doesn't just mean knowing the Bible and knowing a lot of facts and figures and all of that kind of thing. You know, as I say, God is a person, and it's the relationship that's the important thing. And of course, the best way of getting to know someone is through speaking to them, listening to them, looking at what they say, the things that they do, spending time with them, behaving in a similar way to the way that they do. So, you know, if you want to find out about God, you know, I'm sure there are lots of good books that, you know, you could go away and read, but there's no substitute, is there, for spending time reading the Bible, spending time with other believers, praying together, worshipping together, doing things together, having fellowship together. And that way, we learn more about it. You know, Gene said, you know, our way that we learn about God is through other people, isn't it? You know, and if we're not doing, you know, we're as much of a source of helping people to discover what God's like as we are in just looking at all the sort of the theory to it. You know, Romans chapter 5, it says that we gain access to a right relationship with God the Father by trusting in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And in John 16, Jesus says, the Spirit will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears. In other words, he'll point us through Jesus, who in turn points us to God the Father. You know, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, contrary to what people might tell you, Jesus is the only way we can really find out about what God is all about. So let's just pray now that, you know, when we, in our dealings, we make that effort, I think, to try and really get our relationship right with God. You know, it's about our sin, it's about what we do, our relationship with other people. And asking God sometimes just to point out those things that will help us to develop that relationship. You know, like the personality test that I did. You know, when I found out more about the sort of person that I was, it helped me to, in my relationship with my colleagues at work. So we just pray that God will help us to reveal more about ourselves so that in turn we might learn more about each other's and also to learn more about God. Amen. So our final hymn today really talks about God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to be the author of creation. You're the Word of God the Father. Let's say the grace, shall we, together and to one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.